Hi, I'm Carol Sliwa, features writer for SearchStorage.com. My guest today is Greg Schultz, a senior analyst at Storage.io Group and author of The Green and Virtual Data Center. Greg will be speaking with us about solid-state storage technology. Greg, end users can deploy solid-state drives in servers, disk arrays, and appliances. What sorts of things do they need to consider when making that decision?
Carol, there's several things that folks need to take a look at. The biggest has to do with what is the application, what is their environment, and what are they going to use it for? In other words, are they looking to spread the data out? Is it an application where there is no one individual single hotspot, but at different points at different times, solid state can help boost performance? Or is it the case that the performance, the I/O activity can be highly localized to a specific set of files, to a specific set of tables, to a specific set of objects? So what it really comes back to is making that decision is having clear understanding, having clear needs of what they're trying to accomplish and where they're trying to accomplish that.
And what scenarios or for what types of applications are array-based SSDs the optimal approach?
So array-based work real well, Carol, when you have an existing storage system, you've got your data out there, you've been able to identify potential hotspots where there's particular disks that are being hit real hard or that you can isolate it to specific files or particular types of data that then you can move on to the faster solid state. In other words, the whole notion around the solid state is to alleviate, to eliminate I/O bottlenecks. Instead of having lots of small or lots of disk drives just spinning there at a low utilization to get the I/O, is to concentrate those I/O. So in the case of the array, a great complement, a real good solution for solid state is putting some number of solid state drives in with some combination of fast fiber channel or SAS and high capacity SATA drives such that your I/O intensive goes onto the solid state, your capacity centric goes on to your higher capacity and everything else on the in-between type drives.
When is server-based solid-state storage the best option?
So for server-based, Carol, the solution there, the approach there, the idea is that when you can isolate your application, you've got an application. Maybe it's a dedicated database. Maybe it's a dedicated web serving, web hosting, video, something that is highly localized, something that is highly specific to that particular server, where you need a high number of IOPS, whether it's for reads, for writes, random or sequential, but it's a very, very I/O intensive as opposed to a capacity centric. So the key there around server-based is around localizing that I/O. And that would also apply not just to a server, that would also apply to anything that you might generically refer to as an appliance, whether it be a NAS appliance, a video serving appliance, a tape serving appliance, a dedupe appliance. Any appliance that's doing some dedicated function, some dedicated work that has highly localized I/O, that effectively you need to cache.
What types of solid-state storage appliances are available, and when should users consider one of those?
So solid-state storage appliances are a bit of a marketing spin, Carol. In other words, when it comes down to it, you either have storage systems, storage traditional arrays with solid-state drives in them, or you have individual standalone solid-state drives, or you have the hybrid cards, which is a PCI card, or you have a solid-state storage system. Now, some vendors may call that an appliance, but you know what? That's just a dedicated solid-state storage device that we've seen for many, many times. Where it fits is when you can isolate your data, your application, to that specific device. In other words, in the past where it might have been attaching a solid-state into an array, is being able to break that out and just dedicate a solid-state device to a particular application, to a particular I/O problem, a particular I/O challenge.
What are the most common implementation challenges that end users face with solid-state drives?
Biggest challenge is figuring out, finding, identifying where the bottlenecks are. In other words, where are the hotspots? I mean, solid-states, they've been around for decades, and that's been the classic challenge of how do you figure out when to use solid-state and where to best get the bang for the buck. And the trick there is having tools, having software, having utilities, Carol, that will allow you to go in there and find the hot files, find the hot disks, find the problems, where are the bottlenecks, where are the queuing delays, where are the I/O problems, where are the issues so that you can identify them and then correct them by putting the data onto the faster solid-state drive. So that big challenge is that of lack of insight, that lack of awareness. And then the other piece to that would be is you've been able to identify it, you've been able to put your data onto a fast solid state. not getting the performance that you've expected. In other words, you've heard about the great stories, you've heard the promise of solid state, how it can alleviate performance issues. You install it only to find out that you're not getting that bang for the buck you expected. And one of the challenges there can be involving attaching solid state to a storage system, to a storage controller, to a storage adapter, to a system that's not optimized to be able to utilize that. In other words, to have the full speed, that low latency, all the pieces in that path need to be fine-tuned and optimized.
What do end users need to do to give their databases a higher performance boost from SSDs?
Carol, the thing with databases is it's pretty generic. So we assume all databases are I/O performance intensive, and not all of them are. I mean, you could have databases that are supporting a data warehouse, a decision mart that may be capacity centric. But let's jump to those databases that do need I/O. In other words, the bottleneck has to do with I/O. Right off the bat, go look at your transaction logs. Go look at your journal files. Why? Because that's where you tend to have lots of I/Os, lots of updates, lots of small reads and writes, a lot of changing type activity. If you've got enough capacity, if your solid state is big enough, if you've got a large enough budget, now you could do things like put your entire database perhaps onto it. But from there, look at your journal files, look at your transaction logs, then go and use tools such as those that are available in Oracle, within SQL Server, within MySQL, the various database systems that allow you to go out there and look for specific hotspots, specific bottlenecks on particular tables. Maybe you can identify some specific indices, some indexes for a particular database. Maybe find a particular table that is read-write, that has a lot more updates versus other tables. Zero in, find those particular bottlenecks, and then that's where you can eliminate problems and challenge and be able to leverage solid state for what it is as an enabler.
Thanks, Greg. That concludes today's podcast. Thanks for listening.